It's just, it's always, you're listening to the readings and you make a connection between what you're going to say and one of the readings, you hadn't picked it up. And was that from the famous speech of Paul at what you might call Mars Hill, the Areopagus? It was a gigantic rock in Athens, which we colloquially called Mars Hill, and people would stand in front of it and give speeches, and it's also the name of the gathering, the people who gathered at the Areopagus. So it was the rock and it was the people. And so Paul, when he's speaking at the Areopagus, we don't know whether he's, you know, but the idea is there's these people gathered there. It's kind of the equivalent, I suppose, in London terms of Hyde Park Corner. I can't think of anywhere like it in Dunedin, though, but a public place where you go and proclaim things. And he speaks of the unknown God. And in a sense, the heart of what I want to say is, do we know God truly? Who do we see as the theme of what I want to say? Over the years, I've taken part in probably far too many Bible studies, I don't know really. But one in particular stuck in my mind, because I can't really remember most of them, but one that was given by a lady called Margaret Barker. And Margaret was, she isn't anymore, but she is, but she isn't the president of the Old Testament Society, if you get my drift. She's still living, bless her. And she's a scholar not only of the scriptures, but also of many writings which are well known in the time of Jesus, which she uses, as it were, to elucidate the gospel and bring light to so these other scriptures that were around and about and actually quite widely accepted in the early church for the first 200 or 300 years, which most of us know nothing of, like, for example, the books of Enoch. And those are her particular study, and she used them, as it were, to bring light to the gospel. But anyway, she was giving this wonderful Bible study on the theme of covenant. And, you know, I just sat there thinking, this is just fabulous. I just enjoyed it so much. I can't for the life of me remember a thing she said about covenant, but I do remember it was a really, really good study. I'm sure I've got the notes somewhere. But one thing struck with me, which was just also a sort of an aside she made on the kind of warming up comments at the beginning, and she said, you always know when you are in the presence of another Christian. Well, I must admit, my spirit leapt at this, for it was something I myself had noticed. Indeed, I think it's a comment that could only be made by someone who was a Christian, for only a Christian would know this special recognition or identification which spoke in this particular respect. Myself, I was thinking back to the lovely retreat I had at Ngātiawa. I met this fabulous Romanian Orthodox family, and there was just this instant connection, and all of a sudden we were talking about wonderful things of faith and sharing experiences, and it was just happened. Christ happened in the midst of us, as my new friend now, Alex, was continually saying, it is the Eucharist, everything is the Eucharist, and it was a joy. But what is it that we see in this encounter, or rather, who is it? Well, I think a scripture that helps us in this regard is the story of the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. Reading from Luke's Gospel, you remember the angel Gabriel has come and announced to Mary that she is to bear God's son. And it says, in these days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child that Elizabeth was carrying leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child leapt in my womb for joy. As soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Something living within me is identifying deeply with something living within you. And it's an occasion of joy. And I think this is actually the very nub of this encounter when we meet other Christians. These past couple of weeks, we've focused on Jesus as the gate, and then Jesus as the temple, the house of God. And last week, we heard from the Apostle Peter exhorting us to be built as living stones ourselves into a dwelling place for God. Which brings us to today's gospel and these beautiful words of Jesus to his church. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, the first thing to note is that it's Jesus himself as the instigator of this. I will not leave you orphaned. I am not abandoning you. This, of course, are the words he says the night before his crucifixion. I am not abandoning you. Far from it, I am coming to you. Those words are so powerful. The gospel speaks to us now. Jesus says to us now, I am coming to you. He says, behold, look, I am coming to you. Then having made that promise, he goes on. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Now, the word see is, of course, at this point, you're hopefully beginning to pick up the theme of the last few weeks. And the word see, of course, is the word behold. The world will no longer behold me, for the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth, for it neither beholds him nor knows him. But if you love me, that is, if you are in your heart and mind directed towards me, if your life, your inner eye, as it were, is set towards me, you will behold me. To apply a theme I was using in our contemplative prayer group this week on Thursday afternoon, I used the analogy of a flower. Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. The light of the sun irradiates the flower. And the flower, the wonderful thing about flowers is they're constantly turned towards the sun. You can watch them move as the sun tracks across. Even if you can't see the sun, the flower still has that sense of where it is and tracks across. And this is a beautiful illustration of what it is to be truly and fully in our Christian faith, that our, as it were, our gaze is always towards Christ, always tracking towards the source of our life. I am coming to you because I live, you also will live. As the flower receives its life from the sun and is constantly turned towards it, so we in Christ receive our life from the one who has risen and constantly receive our life from him. Behold, I am coming to you. Seeing and beholding are tied up with knowing and believing. They're woven together in a rich tapestry of meaning. The old saying is so true, to see or to behold is to believe. To behold is to know Christ. Seeing me, Jesus says, on that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. As St. Paul puts it in his letter to the Colossians, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages, but now has been made known to his saints. To them God has chosen to make known how great amongst the Gentiles are the riches of the glories of this mystery, which is Christ in you. You will know that I am in the Father, and I am in you, and you are in me. Now it is this profound mystery of Christ in us which is the essence of that mutual recognition as we have as Christians together. That deep level of intuition, beholding Christ in one another. Having said that, things cloud our vision. Perhaps we are angry with a person, a fellow Christian. It's as if we cannot see. We talk of the red mist of anger descending. And what do we lose sight of immediately? Is we lose sight of Christ. It seems all of the passions, as I've pondered this, anger, lust, greed, sloth, envy, all of the like are things that, as it were, put a veil upon our eyes that we can no longer see him. As of course, this is precisely Jesus' problem with the Pharisees, those who were self-righteous, righteous in their own eyes. It was all about them. So too, our sense sometimes of being in the right or of being unjustly treated throws up a veil, which means that we can no longer see Christ. We become spiritually blind. Here again, I think the counsel of St. Paul is apt. In humility, he says, think of others as better than yourself. Indeed, I think we ought to say, think of all others as better than yourself. The grounding of humility, which opens our eyes to the presence of the humble one, Christ himself. As Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall behold God. Who do we see? What blinds us? As many of you know, I love to cook curry. And loving to cook curry means I frequently pay a little visit to that shop on St. Andrew Street with the Asian spices, owned by a delightful member of the Sikh community here in Dunedin. Sikhism, by the way, just out of a passing comment, but it's worth knowing, developed out of Christianity in India in about the 17th century or thereabouts. Whenever I go in, we reverence one another, as is his custom. He does this to me, and I do this to him. It's a simple bow and a joining of the hands and a look in the eye. It's interesting, in some African cultures, folks don't say, how are you? They say, I see you. It seems to me that such a practice is utterly remarkable in our culture, which knows little, if anything, of such reverence for the other, purely in our humanity, let alone as brothers and sisters of one another in Christ. I think perhaps if there were one simple practice which might help us better to see Christ in others, and we're going to do this at the all-age service, but I won't ask it of you. But it is actually, as we do at the altar when we're serving and people bring the gifts, is simply to bow. That simple act of recognition, of reverence for the other. Certainly, I think it would give us pause to hold back from all those important things that we had to say to the other, to first be together in Christ in mutual recognition, and there forget ourselves. For there is little in more lovely in life than those incredibly special moments when something leaps for joy within us at that meeting with another Christian. It is indeed an encounter with our own true life, the life of Christ in us and amongst us, the life which is eternal. Because I live, you also will live. Amen.